الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, it was the system of the pagan Arabs that they would declare many a thing impermissible on the basis of superstition and conjecture. At random, they would declare that a certain animal is haram, that nobody must ride upon it. Then there were situations where they would say that a certain animal is only permissible for the males and haram for the females. Iftira'an ala Allah, these were all superstitious beliefs, inventing lies against the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one was the paganism of ancient times, and you get a repetition of this paganism, you get a repetition of this ignorance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears these things up. تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا. But come, I will show you correctfully what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as impermissible. In these verses, there are 10 commandments. In 3 verses, there are 10 commandments. And these 10 commandments are such that they are unabrogated from the time of Adam alayhi salam right until Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. There may have been other secondary laws wherein there may have been some adjustments, but these are such 10 laws that there were no abrogations whatsoever. And then the Torah commences with these same verses after Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then these are the same commands that the Torah begins with. So we can understand the importance of these 10 verses. Added to all this, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says that whosoever pledges to commit himself to these 10 commandments, then I will guarantee Jannat for him. Ukama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. When we talk about pledge and bayat, generally, there is a misconcept. Generally, the concept, the understanding that we have is that we pledge and thereafter that everything will become easy for us. Some people feel, well, we got the certificate to Jannat. All misconcepts, all superstitions. Really, the reason for bayat is that it's a commitment, it's a pledge, it's a promise. Promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence of the Shaykh. Now the question is, why is it done in the presence of the Shaykh? So this is equivalent to you signing an admission form in a madrasa. You want to learn the Quran Sharif for Allah ta'ala. You want to take up Islamic studies for the sake of Allah ta'ala. But you cannot do it up yourself. So formally you will go to a madrasa, to an institute that specializes in this. And then they will admit you. In that, they will make you sign some admission form that you will commit yourself to these rules and regulations. And you go up to them, for what reason do you go up to them? Because you feel within your heart and your mind that you will not be able to specialize in these studies without a guide, without a tutor, without a guide, you won't be able to specialize. If you take up verses of the Quran Sharif yourself and try to practice them, then you may misinterpret. I was once sitting in i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, and one person came. He was about to leave for Umrah, so he asked me for some advice and to make mulaqat, make dua for him, etc. And then he says, "Mawlana, I got one question." So I asked him, "What's your question? What's your problem?" So he says that, "You know what? I've got several years of qaza namazes. I have to do all my qazas. I heard some virtue that one namaz in the Haram Sharif is multiplied 100,000. So I've got several years of namaz qaza. And I thought of doing my Ramadan in the Haram Sharif, so all the namazas I will do there, every namaz is multiplied 100,000. So I will just level up, I will square up all my backlog." So I said, "By, you know, according to the reasoning you are using, you won't only finish your backlog, even in the future you won't have to read any namaz. All, everything will be covered." So we understand that in everything Allah Ta'ala has created a procedure. You need to learn anything, then there is a procedure. You follow the procedure, inshallah you will come right. The procedure that Allah Ta'ala suggests for us in everything, in all matters of our life, three procedures. One is we consult. Any person that is competent in that science, in that field, we consult with him. Thereafter, he will give you a procedure, you follow this procedure. And thirdly, then you'll pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll trust in him, you'll ask him for help, zikr, whatever else. And then inshallah, Allah ta'ala will allow you to come to the completion. But this is the procedure in everything. And sometimes, if you don't follow procedure, you can become a serious criminal in the sight of Allah ta'ala. Imagine, a person was on the 50th floor. He heard the azan, right? And he says, "I'm not going to follow procedure. My intention is purely to go and get the jamaat namaz. And if I just jump from the 50th floor, go down straight, you know, I'll be able to spend at least half an hour more in the masjid. So my intentions are clear. I've got no flaw in my intention. But I'll fly down from the 50th floor, right down straight, go straight into the masjid." And so he'll be guilty of suicide. Now what was the reason? There was no flaw in his intention. The only reason for him being guilty and being counted as a criminal is that he didn't follow procedure. So one is you consult, that is the system of Allah Ta'ala, أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. And the second, you follow procedure. مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعَيْهَا. That procedure has to be followed. Now, I'll just digress a little bit. After the procedure is followed, don't get obsessed, don't get stressed up whether you're reaching up to the conclusion or not. You have tried for it. Now you're not coming up to the conclusion, you're not coming right to the end. So don't worry about that. For example, someone is pining to get up for tahajjud namaz. He's trying all his best, everything he's trying, whatever he's supposed to be doing, he's doing. Or he's trying to rid himself of jealousy. And whatever his elders are suggesting to him and advising, he's doing all that, he's implementing all that. But he doesn't come to the end, he still finds some feelings lingering within his mind and heart. Now, but right till the end he tried, he endeavored. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be successful. And the proof for that is, Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to slaughter his son, Ismail alayhi salam. Right? And he saw, "Inni ara anni azbahuka fil manam." So he says, "In the dream I've seen, I'm slaughtering you." And then really he didn't slaughter the son. But Allah Ta'ala says that you have fulfilled your promise. قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have made this dream come true. Whereas he hadn't slaughtered the son, but he endeavored, whatever was within his means, he has endeavored, he struggled, he tried to do it. So once he's done that, now Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You have passed the imtihan. So all Allah Ta'ala wants from you is to try. Right till your last second you go on trying. And you try in this way, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will count you from those people that have passed the imtihan, the exams. So anyway, we are talking about these 10 commandments and I explained about bayat. Now really, what is bayat? When we talk about bayat, bayat literally means a sale, to sell. So really what you have done when you have taken bayat, you have sold yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have done it through the tutorship of the sheikh. Like I said, you cannot go and do hifz yourself. You cannot go and do alim study yourself. You'll have to go through a guided study. You don't take the guidance, you go of your own, you will get misled. You will have to subject yourself to that study. Some days ago, one brother had come in from America, old businessman Jamaat. They had gone to America and they'd come back. So, it is interesting to listen to Kalguzari reports and what's there, how is it like there. So he says, well, when we came back, we were there. So one person brought a big box of confectionery, chocolate, sweets, biscuits and all that. Expensive, very expensive stuff. Nice big box. As it is, it's a businessman, Jamaat, and all educated. So educated people and businessmen, they only nibble. They don't eat these things. They nibble these things. Very health conscious. And rightfully, they are health conscious. So anyway, they think to themselves, now, kya kare? What should we do? This thing he brought for this Jamaat here, for even 4 months if he passes, we won't be able to complete this thing here. And he expects us to finish this up. Anyway. But the Jamaat people are taught as well that you show consideration, respect for people's feelings. Don't be rude. Don't be blunt. So they accepted the gift. Anyway, the following morning, the person brought a carton 3 times its size. Full. So, bhai, we haven't finished the first one. You brought this one here. So he said, no, bhai, you know what? I've got a lot more zakat still to give. So this Jamaat felt very insulted. Bhai, we came to give out zakat here. What do you think? We are poor people here. So now I've been applying the ayat of the Quran that one of the avenues of zakat was fi sabilillah. And the Jamaat are fi sabilillah. Now, you see, you're applying the Quran without any guided study. No guide. When you haven't got a guide, then who's your guide then? Shaitan is your guide, your nafs is your guide. Whereas the Quran, this verse of the Quran, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it refers to مُنْقَتِعُ الْغُزَاتِ. Those people that wish to strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala in jihad, and they don't have the equipment, or they cannot afford the equipment for the same. So they can be supported with zakat. So this is the application of the verse. But now, as a failure of having a guide, now this is the conclusion, this is the result. In every aspect, in our dunya, in every aspect we feel, you must have a guide. You can't do without a guide. And like I said, in certain situations, if you don't take the advice of a guide, you can be guilty of suicide. Sometimes you can be guilty of murder. We see Dr. Vanker doing a heart surgery, and someone says, no, I've seen this thing here, Bakri time also, we've seen some things like this, we experimented. So he attempts that, he'll be charged for murder. Won't he be charged for murder? We all agree on that. Why? No guide. You haven't gone through that course. You haven't gone through that training, professional training. You go through that professional training and you do that operation, it's alright. But you didn't go through the training under a guide, therefore you're guilty of murder. So similarly, in deen, there are two aspects. One is the theological aspect that is done in the madrasa. One is the spiritual aspect. So the spiritual aspect also, you need a guide. And failure to have a guide, you will do your own thing just now, and you may make a mess up of things. Just one simple example to illustrate this. One person saw a blind python. Python was totally blind. So he saw an eagle coming up. It had something in its mouth, and it filled it into the mouth of this blind python. So he said, Mena sabak siklia, I learned the lesson, tawakkul, to trust in Allah Ta'ala. See, this thing is blind, how Allah Ta'ala is feeding it. I'll just sit down here, Allah Pak will feed me. How Allah Pak is feeding this, Allah Pak feeds. So he sat down for the first day, nothing coming. Second day, nothing coming. Third day, someone felt sorry, some musafir felt sorry for him. He's starving here, they gave him something. He said, but why are you sitting like this? He said, no, I learned the story of tawakkul, that I mustn't do anything, Allah Pak is feeding. That python, won't he feed me? So this person is advising him, "Bhai, you could take a lesson from the blind python. Couldn't you take a lesson from this eagle? The eagle is good for itself, it's good for the python. And the python is not even good for itself. So couldn't you learn tawakkul from this one?" So in theological matters, you need a guide. Exactly the same, in spiritual matters also you need a guide. Otherwise, you're doing things at random, and you'll definitely be lost. So in every matter, small matters, bigger matters, how do I do it? What do I do? How do I do it? I'll come to this point again. Don't worry, I'm not lost. Come back, inshallah. But as the thoughts are flowing in my mind, I'm relating to you. Really, when we talk about the soul, etc., then it's a medicine. It's medicine. And medicine, the right thing is to see the patient. As you see the patient, what he requires, you diagnose accordingly. And you will give that type of medication. And you don't see now, you're going according to sequence and all that. You don't see all these things here. But you see, is the medication appropriate for the patient? So some student wrote up to Hazrat Muwatta Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, the very essence of tasawuf, what is the essence of tasawuf? So he says, that ikhtiyari ko karo aur ghair ikhtiyari ke piche mat paro. The thing that is within your volition and choice, do it, adopt it. And the thing that is not within your choice and volition, then leave it. Don't worry about it. It's not within your choice, not within your volition about dream, having a spiritual experience, etc. It's not within your choice, so don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. So I've learned it now, so then what's the need of going through this training? So Mullah gave a reply, but before the reply, you know, I'll just give my 2 cents worth. You know, if an accountant gives you a definition of doing business, you know, that minimum effort, maximum profit, and everything that is above the law, right? Everything legal above the law, right? Now, do you become a businessman automatically afterwards? You have to go for 20 years, 15, 20 years training, then you'll become a successful businessman. Exactly the same. It's just a definition. So what I explained to him, sometimes what happens, hasil ko ghair hasil samajhte hai, aur ghair hasil ko kabhi hasil samajhte hai. Sometimes it happens that what you haven't acquired, what you haven't achieved, you feel that you have already achieved. Right? Now 1-2 days you came, read namaz behind Muhammad, Naeem Sahib. Today also I was very impressed, mashallah. My heart was somewhere else, mashallah. Maybe it's ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala reward him. Put more beauty and attraction in his voice. So, sometimes now, you get some pious people around, in that pious gathering, you feel certain feelings. You feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness, the awareness, everything is very high. Right? Now, when you feel that consciousness, you feel, now I've already got ihsan. I've already got ikhlas, and the sincerity that they are speaking about, I've already got it. Now, that was just a temporary feeling that you went through, a temporary experience that you went through. It's not a constant feeling. Like a person who's got a heart problem, for a day or so he felt very well relieved. So he feels, no, everything is sorted out now. Is it right? Not right. And sometimes it happens that hasil ko ghair hasil samajhte. Sometimes he's got it. He's got the level of tawakkul, of trusting in Allah Ta'ala, but he feels that I haven't got it yet. So when his mind is wandering out around in this way, he'll begin to feel that, na'uzu billah, tasawuf was an impossible task. Because I tried and I tried and I tried, and I didn't just get there. So it's impossible to get there. So what is he saying? What is he implying? He's implying that, na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala has made something obligatory that is impossible. He's saying against the verse, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Because Allah Pak is saying, that I only compel a soul in accordance to its capacity, strength. And what he's saying, no, Allah Ta'ala has given us such obligations that we can't manage. So do you see the conclusions that he will come up to? All on account of the fact that he wants to experiment it himself. Whereas it's an obligatory branch of faith. Wa yuzakkim, what does wa yuzakkim mean? Obviously refers to the spiritual rectification, the correction of the soul. The correction of the soul is in different levels. One is in beliefs. What is an akhlaq? بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And then akhlaq is codified in the hadith. It's not what you and I think about character. We will think about good character when you speak to someone, laugh at him, smile at him, be good, be courteous, and that is good character. Whereas Islam has got its own code. So anyway, we're talking about these 10 commandments. And I explained that these 10 commandments are so important and significant. They are from the time of Adam alayhi salam, right till Rasulullah alayhi salam, unabrogated. 10 commandments. The Torah is commencing with this. And Rasulullah alayhi salam is also saying that you pledge with me in these 10 respects and I will promise Jannat for you. Then I went on to Bayat. You know. So you have actually sold yourself to Allah Ta'ala. Right? You have sold yourself. When you say Bay, you have sold yourself to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But you want to do it under the training of a Sheikh. Like you sell yourself to Allah Ta'ala to learn the Quran and commit the Quran, but under the guidance of an Ustad, under the guidance of a teacher. Same. Here it's a teacher, here it's an Ustad, here it's a Sheikh. This, it's a name difference. So when you have sold yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do you belong to yourself? I have sold this motor car to you. Right? Now does it belong to me? When it doesn't belong to me, then I don't have the choice of doing things of my own accord. Now if I do anything, then I need to see, have I got divine permission? I must follow procedure thereafter because I've sold myself. I've sold myself to Allah Ta'ala under the guidance of my Shaykh. Under the guidance of a person who is trained for that, I've sold myself. When I've sold myself, then this body doesn't belong to me. This mind and these eyes don't belong to me. These ears don't belong to me. Now that they don't belong to me, now if I want to do things of my own, really it's cheating, it's deceiving. So this is the essence of Bayat. We're talking about this verses, Allah tushriku bihi shay'a. The Quran Sharif commences with Tawheed, with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at the Quran in different verses, you'll find that the same theme is being applied. Everywhere Allah ta'ala speaks about Tawheed first. Come. Qada rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyah. Wa abudu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. Atlu ma harrama rabbukum alaykum alla tushriku bihi shay'a. So if Allah Ta'ala commences, He commences with Tawheed, the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now this is such an important aspect. And the reason why the Quran Sharif starts off with this is multiple. One is, if the Tawheed is right, if your beliefs are right, then all the second reactions will be accepted. But if the Aqeedah and the belief is corrupt, then how do you expect your actions to be accepted in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? Number two, if someone has got the consciousness and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is expected of him that he won't make a mistake in secondary matters, because at all times he's got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person came up to us, Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi. Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi is the head of this entire silsila. All our Buzurganadin and Mashayikh, whoever you know of, and you see, you just trace them where they're going up, where the lineage is going up to. It's all ending up to Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So he came up to Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh and he says that my wife is sick, make dua for her. And, you know, she makes my rotis. Now if she goes, then what's going to happen? Simple person, people in the old days, they were simple. They come straight to the point. They don't beat around the bush. Same things nowadays, they'll say it in a different way, you know. You know, I need companionship and you know how difficult it is. But same, the roti is the main thing. But just that is in a more scientific, more sophisticated way. So he came straight to Hadi Sahib, you know what? She's sick, make dua for her. So Hadi Sahib rahmatullah says, Ajeeb baat hai, very strange, that ek aadmi qaid khana se nikal raha hai aur dusre ro raha hai. One person is getting freed of the prison, and the next man is crying about it. In other words, this world is a world full of constraints, right? Chains, shackles. This is haram, this is not right, can't do this. So, it's a world full of shackles and chains. So one person is getting freed of this world, the shackles and the chains and the bonds and all that, and another man crying about it. That was the first reply. And the second reply Hazrat gave him, Inshallah, aur thode dino ke baad, tum bhi is qaid khane se raha ho jaoge. After a few days, you will also get freed. MashaAllah, ab bhi khush khabri lekar ke gaya. He is speaking about his wife, that she's going to die just now. So he got the good news that he's also going to leave few days time. And the third thing he asked, that make dua, that my wife, she must recover. Because she's making my rotis. So Hazrat says him, I make dua for you, tum khud gharz na bano. I make dua for you, that you don't look for your own motives, you know. Okay, motive. You are looking for your own motive, your own advantage. Because of your advantage, she must live. So selfish of you, she must live. Why? Because of you. If it was the other way around, because of you, because of your comfort, she must live. In other words, if there was someone else to make the rotis, etc., then she was not important. She's only significant because she makes your rotis. So I make dua for you that you're not so self-motive. Rather, your niyat is for the welfare for everybody, not only for yourself, for everybody. Then he went on to ask Hazrat Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, ke falane aadmi ne mujhe vaada kiya ke mujhe Madina Munawara ko pahunchayenge aur vaada khilafi kar raha hai. That so and so person, he promised me that he will take me to Madina Munawara. He'll buy my ticket, accommodation, everything in Madina Munawara. And now he's going against his promise. Now, just until now, I was a little bit humorous, a little bit mild. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah got really disturbed. Hazrat says, aisi shirk jaisi baat mere samne na karo. Don't make this type of shirk statements in my presence. In other words, what Hazrat is implying, that if he wishes, then will you be able to reach Madina Munawara. And if he doesn't wish, you will not, if he doesn't help, you won't reach Madina Munawara. That's what you are saying. That's what you are implying. Whereas, Tawheed, what does it mean? Tawheed means that you believe that Allah Ta'ala is unique in His being and in His attributes. Not only in His being. In His being and in His attributes, He is absolutely unique. There's nobody that's sharing with Him in His belief. There's nobody that's sharing with Him in His attributes. Sometimes, we say that to believe that someone else is omnipresent, this is an act of shirk. A belief of shirk, right? True. But there is, Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah in his tafsir, he says, there is another type of shirk, although it is not the same level, but it's also a minor type of shirk, where you believe that this person, if he makes it happen, it will happen. And if he doesn't, then it won't happen. Your belief in people is to such a level, that if he makes it happen, it will happen. And if he doesn't make it happen, it won't happen. This is also a minute type of shirk. Like, when you are engaged in ibadat, you got the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala at heart, and you got the pleasure of someone at heart. So this is also a type of shirk. Man salla yura'i faqad ashrak. He's doing it for ostentation and show. So this is also a type of shirk. This equally is also a type of shirk. Now how many of us are engaged in this? How many of us involved in it? Person that is prostrating before a grave is a shirk. Right? But this shirk that many of us are involved in, do we consider it to be shirk? Many times the man says, it's my achievement. You know, I did this. And I fulfilled this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this type of statements. In Surah Kahf, most of us, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we recite Surah Kahf. And there is a discussion between two friends. And the one is bragging about himself. Oh, I did this, I accomplished this, and I got this type of gardens, and this type of orchards, and this type of wealth, etc. And I don't think Qiyamah will ever come. And if Qiyamah ever comes, then I'll be in a better position than what I'm here. So his sati that is a mu'min, he says, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطُفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. That I believe in Allah Ta'ala, and I won't join partners to Allah Ta'ala like how you are doing it. You're doing it, you believe as though it's your achievement. You have achieved this. No, I'm not going to do this. I believe it's from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And if you entered your business, you entered your property, your home, your orchard, whenever you saw, you know, that your eyes are attracted to, you feel good about. So, the moment you enter into these places, and you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. You got a good child. He's handsome, he's attractive, he's promising, he's intelligent, he's making strides. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. So this is Tawheed. And the Tawheed really is a protection for your business. It's a protection for your child. It's protection for anything that is attractive in your eyes. You want it to be protected. You want it to be secure. Then the easy way is when you see it, then you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. It is by the will of Allah Ta'ala, and it could have never been possible without the will of Allah. So what has happened? It's happened only by the will of Allah Ta'ala. I have seen this patient through, this client, I have shown him a solution to his problem. I have worked this thing out by the will of Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't happen with me. Rather, Allah Ta'ala inspired my heart. And on account of this inspiration that Allah Ta'ala inspired me, I have shown him the right thing. That's Tawheed. That not only do you believe Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be unique in his being, and unique in his attributes, but even in the accomplishments, you feel it is totally Allah Ta'ala's. You were just the tool there, that's all. You were only the tool. Otherwise, it is Allah Ta'ala that has done it. Whether it was the intelligence, whether it was the tongue, whether it was any accomplishment, any achievement, no, it is from Allah Ta'ala. I was just the tool. It just happened that Allah Ta'ala in this world, you don't see him directly. Do you see Allah Ta'ala directly? You don't see him. But you will see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation. You've seen the glory and the radiance of the sun, right? But really, it is manifesting the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An easy way to make us understand, in a very simple and easy way, basic way. Inshallah, if you reflect on this example, this will become very clear to you, inshallah. You see the brightness on the wall, right? The beauty in the wall, whatever else, it's on account of the light. It's on account of the sun. If the light or the sun has moved away totally from it, will you see any beauty on that wall? No. There's no beauty in the wall. There's no light at all. No light. It's in total darkness. There's no light at all in it. So the real beauty is the beauty of the sun. That light and that radiance is what? Is the radiance of that sun. If had the sun moved away, it's covered in total darkness. Exactly the same. This brain is working. It's inspired, right? It's getting some guidance. That divine light is inspired. And it's showing you some things. But the moment the divine light moves away from you, you are left totally in darkness. You're covered in darkness. Nothing. Phir kya insaan ka kya hai? He's left totally in darkness. So whatever goodness you see, whatever achievement you see, is not yours. It is Allah Ta'ala's. Now this is that elementary sabak, elementary lesson of tasawuf. That's the first step. Get that tawheed right. Get that oneness of Allah Ta'ala right. Allah ta'abudu illa iya. And the second thing, wabil walidain ihsana, showing kindness towards the parents. Right. In the hadith, someone asked Rasulullah Pasan, the best of deeds, as-salatu ala waqtiha. Perform namaz at its right time. Mustahab time, with jamaat, go and perform it right. Then what? وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Then kindness towards parents. The Quran Sharif didn't say, just go and fulfill their needs. No. Father wants some water, so he brought a glass of water and gave it to him. That is fulfillment of need. But kindness towards parents is something else. Kindness towards parents is, now I know my father liked the water in a certain way, and it must be in a certain plate. You know, it must be chilled to a certain temperature. And he likes a little bit sweet with that. This type of chocolate he needs with this thing here. You know. And it must be served to him in a certain way. Then he'll really be pleased. So this is what is meant by wabil walidain ihsana. Really, when the parents grow a little bit old, right, then we say that they become a little bit more sensitive. They become a little bit more demanding. But then we demand jannat from Allah Ta'ala as well. So these parents are your jannat or your jahannam. You show them the kindness, you show them that respect, you show them that love, they are Jannat. And in that old age, if you leave them and you abandon them, then really you have closed your doors to Jannat. This parents, as well as relatives, our South African community is such, okay, we are an outgoing nation. We are an outgoing. I lived in India for 3.5-4 years, so I know how they live there and how we live here. Yeah, there isn't a weekend that we don't go out. A weekend is a little bit too much, I think. Every day we are out, somewhere or the other, on the road, movement. So I don't say stop this. If you say someone to stop it, he can't stop it. But I will request this much, that in this outing of ours, every day that we are out, at least in the week that we are out, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we are out, at least we make it a point, we'll visit one relative. We'll visit one sick person, some old man, some friend of our father. Now these are all duties. To meet the friend of the father, to respect him, to show kindness towards him, is a duty in Islam. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away, Rasulullah sallam would sometimes, when he slaughtered a goat, he will make meat parcels and give to the friends of Hazrat Khadija. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away approximately 2 or 3 years before the hijrat. So at that time, Rasulullah sallam was about 50. So Hazrat Khadija must have been about 65 something. Right? So her friends would also be 65, 70. So they are old. Right? So Rasulullah would make meat parcels and give to the friends of Hazrat Khadija and impress upon us that this is also a right towards the family, the friend of the deceased. It's your wife and your wife's friend. But please, if your wife is deceased and she is young and she is deceased and her friends are young, they don't try this thing. At least at age, inshallah, there isn't the possibility of any wrong. You know, temptation is there. Temptation, you can't rule it off. It's there. Until that last moment that you are in this world, the temptation would be with you. You can't rule it off. This kindness towards parents, towards relatives, is such a great thing. You know, when we talk about life, the hadith speaks about this, being kind towards parents, relatives, etc., the friends of the parents, etc. And the hadith says that you promise with two things. I promise you two things. One is, you get a long life. Number two is, you get a lot of wealth. Now, I want to explain this. Long life and a lot of wealth. Just brief, through an example. See, life can be compared to a carton, to a box, right? The size of the carton is irrespective. It's a very huge carton. I've got a very big carton. It's not really significant. Really, what you have filled into the carton, that is significant. Right? If you've got a big, huge carton, and you fill it up with achro kachro, all type of filth and dirt, you fill it up. So what's significant about that carton? But if you've got a moderate-sized carton, and you filled it up with gems, rubies, emeralds, diamonds, pearls, etc., you cast in very well. Moderate size, but you really filled it up. So this is life. Someone in the carton of life is filled in all filth and dirt. And someone is being inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill in gems, emeralds, gold, etc. That in that short duration, he's achieved so much. The Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from nubuwat till death, is 23 years. How much is filled in that carton? So much is filled in that carton that the gems we are using till this day until the day of Qiyamah will use. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hayy Sahib Lakhnavi is a leading muhaddis of India, right? He passed away at the age of 39. But his works are so excellent that up till this day, nearly every madrasa has got his kitabs. 39, at the age of 39. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he had passed away at the age of 49. And his work was so marvelous that I don't think there is any country in the world wherein there isn't a madrasa or a maktab operating under his tutorship or under his blessings. Started off through his blessings. Millions of madrasas, maktab, etc. all flourishing and flourishing right throughout the world. And this man is the originator. One man. So in that 49 years, what blessing Allah had given him? So this is that blessing that Allah Ta'ala gives you. Whatever the life that is destined for you, within that life Allah Ta'ala will give you such opportunities, that opportunities will bring such, reap such blessings, that it will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Short life. Same life. But you get so much of blessings within that. Similar is the case with your wealth. one friend of mine, about 4 or 5 years he passed away, old man. So just before he could pass away, he thought, I've got one home now, let me sell that home and do something with it. So he sold the house and he thought about something, you know, I've got some family in India and I've got some gum there, and let me go and open up a masjid in a more central spot. So niyat is good, there's no flaw in the intention. He sold the house and he built up a masjid. Without exaggeration, there's approximately every namaz more than 1,500 musallis, every namaz. He's dead and gone, but every namaz that is taking place, there's more than 1,500 musallis in that masjid. And with that, the whole markaz is operating from that spot. Number three, there are several hifz classes that operate. I don't know how many hundreds of hafizes have already been produced. So this is the barakah that Allah Ta'ala grants in that wealth, that same wealth. But Allah Ta'ala inspired the man, spend it in this cause, and this will turn out for you in this way. So this is al-barakah. Someone has got a smirk on their face. Whatever. So this is that barakah, right? That whatever that limits are, within that limits, Allah Ta'ala will grant you so much. Yunus Abraham, today I was just thinking about it, that he started all this thing, I think maximum it must be about 20 years. Right? He started all this thing here. But the fruits of it, right throughout the world, don't you see it? By Padia started, he started in 62, when I was a child, about 6-7 years of age, and he passed away in 98. Right? About 35 years. But in the 35 years, how much he achieved? How many madrasas are operating? How many people became ulama, hafiz, etc.? All this one man's effort. So Allah Ta'ala grants that type of barakat in that person's life. On account of what? Maintaining good, healthy relationship. And that healthy relationship, it doesn't mean that man was good to you, you be good to him. Whether the man is sour, he is bitter towards you, he is rude towards you, you show the kindness, you show the respect. Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of it, let Allah Ta'ala decide. But you show your kindness. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi, and Muhammad Zakaria Sahib rahmatullahi, both of them were out of Kandla. Kandla was their hometown. One was in Delhi, one is in Saharanpur. Sometimes both of them would come at one and the same time to Kandla. So they will make an agreement. If I am there, you must invite me. And if you are there, then I will invite you. So both are there. In that 1-2 days, they will cover up all the families. Now one family relative is very sulky, very rude. You have it. If you have someone that is on your side, then you have someone that is against you. Whether it's a buzruk, whatever it is, whether it's an alim, jalna li kulli nabiin aduwan. That for every nabi there was an opposition, there was an enemy. So an alim is a deputy of a nabi. So you'll also have the same. You must have that. So someone is rude, someone is sulky, someone is saying whatever he's saying. Other Shaykh and Ilyas Sabrahman, they both would make it a point. They won't go 5-10 minutes, go and meet him, show a smile. The man, many a times, he would just turn his face. In the lounge, he's turning his face, looking at the opposite end. He would spend some time there, make salam, I'll make dua for you, you also make dua for me. And with respect, he will leave. So the rehbar, the guy that was taking them around, one family, says, Beghairat, Beshram, okay, you don't have any shame in your eyes. You don't have any respect. He is being so sulky, so rude towards you, and you still have the decency of showing so much of respect and consideration. So Zakaria Sahib replied, says, Usne kya jo kuch usko karna chahiye tha, aur hum kar rahe jo hume karna chahiye. He is doing what he needs to do. And we are the gulam, the slave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked us to be kind and to be considerate. We are not his slave, and now are we our slaves. We are the slave of Rasul Pakistan. He's asked us that we show that consideration, that respect. So a simple thing, like we have these weekends, whatever, holidays, but every day if we take out the time, some old relative, some friend, father's friend, mother's friend, some distant or close relative, we take out the time and go and visit him, small things will cheer them up. Small little things we take, alright, this auntie here likes some achar, so we took that achar. This one here likes some biscuit, but she feels in her heart, okay, he's got a place for me, he's got a place in his heart for me. How much of dua that person doesn't give you? A little bit, just a little bit of consideration, a little bit of love. And if the person is living at a distance, take the decency of telephoning, where we can phone everywhere and anywhere. Can't we take the time and phone up these people? So, wa bil walidayni ihsana. There's other 8 aspects that the Quran Sharif discusses. But my time is up now. Inshallah, Mawlana Naeem Sahib, whenever he finds the opportunity, he will discuss the rest. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana. Wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina. Wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana wa atina ma wa'attana ala rusulik. ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة في الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.